B'syata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, four lines from the top of the Omud. Well, remember in the previous Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, Omud Beis, we saw there was a machlekes in the Mishnah where if the husband and wife, the chos and the kalif, they're arguing that the wife says that it's true you didn't find basulim, but that was because after the kiddushin, somebody forced me to have relations with him, and therefore the basulim were removed, and it's just too bad, it's your bad luck. And he says, no, maybe it happened before we got married, before the kiddushin, before the erusin, and in which case it's a mekach tos. And there we saw it was a machlekes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that she is ne'emenes, and we learned because she is more confident, it's bori, and bori v'shema bori odif. We saw that in the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis, and Rabbi Yeshua argued. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, it could be that he is right. We don't know, but there's a good chance or there's a possibility, and therefore she cannot take the money, the ksuba, from him. Now we're going to learn a different Mishnah, and soon the Gemara is going to discuss why we need both Mishnayos. They seem to be saying the same thing. Here again you have a chosn and a kala, a husband and a wife, who are arguing, and he clearly didn't find the basulim, and she's not arguing with him. She's not saying I was a basula or I am a basula. She's saying, you're right, there were no basulim. Even though you hoped there would be basulim, you thought there would be basulim, but there were no basulim. The question is, what happened? And what happened can make a big difference to how much ksuba she deserves. Here Imeres, if she says, mukas eitzani, nobody ever got anywhere near me, no one ever had relations with me. No, why were there no basulim there? There were no basulim there because of an accident. She was hit by a piece of wood, and the basulim were knocked out. Mukas eitzani. We'll soon see what that means. Does that mean she's claiming 200, or does that mean she's claiming 100? We already saw earlier on Daf Yud Aleph, there was a machlokes tanoim, if a mukas eitz, the ksuba is 200, or mukas eitz, the ksuba is 100. That's machlokes Reb Meir and the Chachomim. We'll get to that soon. But she says, mukas eitzani. And he says, Loiki elot rusas ishat. No, he says that I'm not accusing you that something happened, that there was a znus after the kiddushin, after the erusin, but there's a good chance that the reason there's no basulim is because somebody took them out. It wasn't mukas eitz. It's not a piece of wood that accidentally removed the basulim. It was a drusas ish. There was actually a man, a male, who had relations with her and removed the basulim. And then he's obviously making a claim, and we have to understand, what's the claim? We'll see that in the Gemara. So Reb Gamliel, Reb Eliezer, Imrim, the same as in the previous Mishnah, Reb Gamliel and Reb Eliezer hold, Ne'emenes, she's believed to say Mukas Eitz. Reb Yeshua, Imrim, Lo Mipion, Nuchoin, Reb Yeshua says, we cannot trust her and blindly and assume that because she said Mukas Eitz, that's the absolute fact. Elo harehi becheskas drusas ish, that we have to assume that it could be she's a drusas ish, acha tovi ra'e l'dvara, until she can prove otherwise. So ask the Gemara, ta'anosaihu b'mai, what are they arguing about in practical terms? They're clearly not saying the same thing. If the ksuba, if mukas eitz would be 100 zuz, and drusas ish would be 100 zuz, then it's very clear that they're not arguing. Then there's no discussion here. It's clear that she is saying, I deserve more, and he's saying, no, maybe you deserve less. What's the argument? So that's going to be machlokes now between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan omar b'mosayim u'mone. Rabbi Yochanan says, she says, mukas eitz, conforming with Rabbi Meir earlier on, mukas eitz, the ksuba is 200. And he says, no, it's not mukas eitz, it was mone. Why does he say mone, which is 100 zuz? Because he says, drusas ish, and drusas ish, we learned earlier on, that konso b'cheskas b'sulo v'nimtzis b'ulo, ksubos amone. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's claiming she only deserves 100. And he's claiming that she only deserves 100, and she's claiming that she deserves 200. That's Rabbi Yechanon's opinion. Rabbi Loza Omer. Rabbi Loza says, no, b'mone. She says that she deserves mone, 100 zuz. She says mukas eitz, conforming with the opinion of the Rabbonon earlier on, that says that mukas eitz, ksubosa, mone. V'loi klum, and the husband is saying, no, he's saying that drusas ish, you don't deserve anything. It's a mekach tos. because konso b'cheskas besulav nimtzes b'ulo, you don't deserve anything. And the Gemara is now explaining. Rabbi Yechanan Omar b'mosayim u'mone. What's making Rabbi Yechanan say that they're arguing mosayim u'mone? Says the Gemara, sovar lo k'Rab Meir. The Omar bein hikir bo, bein lo hikir bo, mosayim. We saw in the Gemara early on Daf Yud Aleph, that according to Rab Meir, even if he didn't know beforehand that she was a Mukas 8, and then it turned out that she was a Mukas 8, then her ksuba is still 200. And we'll soon see why Rabbi Yechanan chose to say that that's what they were arguing about. The Gemara is going to discuss that in a minute. But Rabbi Yechanan has said that he's claiming 200 like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Loza Omer b'mone. Rabbi Loza says, not him, that she's claiming 200. Rabbi Loza Omer b'mone. Rabbi Leza says that she is claiming 100 and he's claiming that she doesn't deserve anything. So Valoka Rabbonon, because he holds, Rabbi Loza holds like the Rabbonon. The Omri bein Hikirbo bein Loi Hikirbo. We saw in the Gemara earlier on that according to Rava, after he changed his mind on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, irrespective of Hikirbo or Loi Hikirbo, even if he didn't know before the Mukas 8, the Ksuba is 100. And therefore he said that the wife who says Mukaseis, she's demanding 100. If she's demanding 100 and he's saying Loi, no, you don't deserve 100, it must be that he's going to say you don't deserve anything. Dom, Rebbein Hikirba, Bein No Hikirba, Mone. The Gemara is now going to elaborate. Bishleim Rebbe Loza, according to Rebbe Loza, who says that they were arguing that she says I deserve 100 and he says you don't deserve anything. The reason he didn't say like Rabbi Yechanan that she's claiming 200 and he says she only deserves 100, that we can understand. Because when you have a machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbonon, how much ksuba a Mukas Eitz deserves, then why follow Rabbi Meir if we can follow the Rabbonon? The Rabbonon say that Mukas Eitz only gets 100. She says, he oimeres Mukas Eitz, she's clearly only asking for 100. If she's asking for 100 and he's arguing, it must be he's saying she doesn't deserve anything. Elo Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan, why did he choose to explain the Machlekes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah that whether Nemenes or not Nemenes, is that she's claiming 200 and he's saying, no, you only deserve 100. My Tamaleoma Kribeloza. Why did he follow that opinion of Rab Meir to say that she says Mukas 8 and she wants 200? Maybe she's saying Mukas 8 and only gets 100, like Kribeloza explained. Why would Rabbi Yechanan be choosing Rab Meir's opinion? Why would you? Yeah. Says the Gemara, Kosovar. You know why? Let's start from the end. He's arguing. He's saying you deserve even less. Well, Kosovar, Rabbi Yochanan holds that konso b'cheskas b'sula v'nimtzeis b'ula yesh lo ksuba mone. Rabbi Yochanan holds that if somebody's got married assuming she was a b'sula, and then it transpired that she was actually a b'ula, then she gets a mone. So if he's saying, loi ki elo drusas ish, no, you were a b'ula, and if you hold, he gets that he agrees that she deserves a mone, it must be her claim of Mukas 8 is more than mone. So it must be that he's following Rab Meir, who says that Mukas 8 gets 200. Because if you follow the Rabbonon that Mukas 8 gets 100, and you hold that Konso Becheskas Besulov and Nimtes Beulo is also 100, then he and she are not arguing at all. Her claim of Mukas 8 and his claim of Drusas Ish are going to give her the same value of Ksuba, what they're arguing about. So hocha hu ka'omar mone, v'hi ka'omrus mone. If you're going to say that his claim konso b'cheskas b'sulav nimtzeis b'ulo is mone, and v'hi ka'omrus, and her claim of mukas 8 according to the rabbanon is mone, ma'ika ben taina didei l'taina dida. Then what's the difference between his claim and her claim? And therefore, said Rabbi Yechanan, it must be that we're following Rab Meir, and that her claim is to get 200, because according to Rab Meir, mukas 8 gets 200. Says the Gemara, Bishleim el Rebbe Lozar. According to Rebbe Lozar, now the Gemara is going to focus. We had two Mishnayos here. We had a Mishnah that says on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, where they were arguing whether the znus or the oinus, was it before the kiddushin or was it after the kiddushin. That was the machlekas before. And here you've got the Machlokes. Rabbi Gamliel says she's ner menes to say that it happened after the Kiddushin, and Rabbi Yeshua says no, maybe he's right that it happened before the Kiddushin. And then you've got our Mishnah where she says Mukas Eitz and he says Drusas Ish, the same Machlokes. The question is, why do you need two Mishnayos? So Bishlei Mil Rebbe Lazar, according to Rebbe Lazar, who says then our Mishnah here, her claim of Mukas Eitz is 100 mone. Is 100 zuz, sorry, one mon is 100 zuz. That's her claim. And his claim then is, Drusas is, she doesn't deserve anything. Then I understand why I need two Mishnayos. Chodela fuke midirami bar choma, v'chodela fuke midirabchia bar oven om reb sheshes. If you remember, Rami Bar Choma on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which Rava argued with, but Rami Bar Choma held that if Loi Hikirbo, if he got married to her not realizing she was a Mukas Eitz, and then it became apparent that she was Mukas Eitz, according to Rami Bar Choma, both Reb Meir and the Chachomim say it's a Mekach Tos, and she doesn't get any Ksuba. Here in the Mishnah, when she's making a claim, Mukas Eitz, then it doesn't matter what way you hold it. Rabbi Yechanon says she was asking for 200, Rabbi Lezer says she was asking for 100, but she was asking for something. So it's clear from this Mishnah, not like Rami Bar Choma. That's the Chiddush, that's the element of Chiddush in our Mishnah. And regarding the previous Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, over there, the husband is claiming, you became a Bu'ula before the Kiddushin, and you don't deserve anything. It's a Mekach Tos. And we saw that Reb Chiya Bar Ovin understood earlier on that you get something. And the basic reading of the Mishnah over there is that he claims it's a Mekach Tos. Mekach Tos means you don't get anything. So the element of Chiddush in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis is that Konso Becheskas Besula Menimteis Be'ula, you get nothing. Not like Reb Chiya Bar Ovin. And the Chiddush in our Mishnah is that Mukas Eitz, where Loi Hikirbo, when he didn't know before, she gets Ksuba, not like Rami Bar Choma, who said that you don't get any Ksuba. And that's how Rebbe Lozer would understand the two Mishnayos. However, says the Gemara, Elo l'Rabbi Yechanon, Tarti Lomoli. According to Rabbi Yechanon, why do I need both Mishnayos? Rabbi Yechanon clearly explained here that his claim that she's Drusas Ish, which means Konso Becheskas Besula V'Nimtzeis Be'ula, and she deserves a Ksuba of Mone, of 100, which is like Reb Chiya Bar Ovin. But then, according to Rabbi Yechanon, both Mishnayos would have the same element of Chiddush, that Konso Becheskas Besula V'Nimtzeis Be'ula, she gets a Mone. So, and we would see that from this second Mishnah. Why do I need the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis? What's that telling us? Why do I need both Mishnayos? In both Mishnayos, we see that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that she is Ner Menes, Rabbi Shua says she's not Ner Menes. Why do I need both Mishnayos? That was the question of the Gemara here. El Rabbi Yechanon, Tarati Lomoli. Why do I need to have the Mishnah over there at all? Chod answers the Gemara. Chod lo yidiach o koichoid Rabbi Gamliel, v'chod lo yidiach o koichoid Rabbi Yeshua. And the Gemara is going to explain. Kamaisa, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, lo yidiach o koichoid Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says there that she's not believed. And we suspect that he might be right, that she was a Be'ula before the Kiddushin. We mentioned in the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis that Reb Gamliel, who says there that Ne'menes, and we explained that, that according to one explanation in the Gemara there, that the reason that Reb Gamliel believes her is because she's got a migu. Because if she wanted, she could make a different claim. She could have said, instead of saying that I became a ba'ula ba'oinus after the Kiddushin, and that would mean that she would become osir to a kohen, but she could have said mukas eitz. And then she wouldn't be also to a kohen. Why, if she was lying, she could have said a better claim. So that itself is a proof that she's not lying. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yeshua didn't accept that and said, Loi mipia onu choim, and she's not believed. We don't take her word as being the final word. That's what we need the Mishnah before, because her claim over there is that she said that Misha irastani ne nasti, she had a migu, nonetheless, she's not ne menes. That's the Chiddush over there. Loi mehemna. And Basraisa, and the Chiddush of our Mishnah is Loidiach HaKoichid Rabbi Gamliel, to tell us the Chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel. The Afal Gavdu Lekele Meimar Migu. In our case, what Migu is there? Because she says Drusas Eitz. Why should she be believed? There's no migu there. And nonetheless, he says, even though there's no migu, she has a chazoka that she has a cheskas kashrus and nemenes mehemna, she's believed, and that is the element of chiddush in this Mishnah. Continues the next Mishnah. Ra'uha medaberes. If they saw this woman who was talking to a strange man, she was an unmarried girl. She was not married, but she was speaking to a man that was not her husband. Now, clearly this is not an issue of just speaking, because however good or bad it is to speak for a woman, to, for a girl to speak to a man, but it clearly there would be no halachic isurim, prohibitions or restrictions after she speaks to somebody in her, regarding her kashrus, regarding whether she's allowed to marry a kohen, etc. But either way, the Mishnah speaks about medaberes, and we'll see soon in the Gemara that it clearly doesn't mean just speaking. It means something more serious. The question is how serious? That's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Ra'uah medaberes im echod. They saw this girl speaking to a man. Va'omru lo. They said to this girl, ma tivu shel ish zeh. Tell us about this person. You know, is he a, you know, maybe... And obviously what's behind the question is that we're afraid that maybe there was a znus, maybe you had relations with him. And if she had relations with somebody who would have been possible to marry, for example, a nosin, a mamzer, and if she had relations with somebody who's possible, then she becomes possible l'kuhuna. And that's the question here. So they asked her, Mati vushalishzeh, what's the nature? Tell us about this man that you spoke to. She answered, "Ish ployni v'koyinu." This is the person, and we know that he's an Yisrael kosher. He's not a nosin, and he's not a mamzer. The question is, do we believe her? We don't know if she's saying the truth. We don't know if she's right. So here again, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimrim, Nemenes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that she's Nemenes, and she is allowed to, after that, marry a koyin, and we don't assume that she had a bia with a apostle, was somebody who she wouldn't have been allowed to marry. Rabbi Shua Imir Loimi Pia on Choin. Rabbi Shua says we cannot take her word as the last word. We have to assume that she could have had a bia with a nosin or a mamzer, which are apostle, and then that makes her apostle to kohuna. Acha tovirai ledvoreo, until she can bring proof. So that was one story. It was a story that all we saw was medaberes. We'll soon see what medaberes means. Here we have another incident. Hoysa ma'uberes. You had this unmarried girl, and unfortunately it became apparent that she's actually pregnant, which means it's very, very clear that she had relations with this person. Va'omru lo, ma tivu shel uberzue. And they asked this girl, tell us about this child that you're carrying. Who's its father? Is this child kosher? Is this child not kosher? What's the story? And what did she answer again? Me'ish ployni v'koyinhu. She said, no, the father of this child, the man that I had relations with, is such and such a person. He's not a nosin. He's not a mamzer. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimrim Nemenes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer again say that we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer Loimi Pia Onuchoyin. Rabbi Yeshua says that she may not be saying the truth, we cannot trust her blindly. It could be that she's bearing a child from a nosin or a mamzer, until she can bring proof otherwise. Says the Gemara, my medaberes. The Mishnah started speaking about a woman that was medaberes. She spoke to somebody, a man, somebody who she's not married to. She wasn't married at all. And they wanted to know what the story was. The question is, what did they actually see? Ra'uha, they saw her doing what? Speaking? Speaking would never make her apostle to a kohen. And there is a discussion, is she nemenes? Is she not nemenes? Is she apostle to kohuna or not apostle to kohuna? Something more serious happened. So obviously, we have to assume that the question is, she was nivalo. We assume that she had relations. The question is, what did we actually see to make us assume that she had relations with this person? So Ze'iris Omar Nistara. Ze'iris says it's actually enough if you just saw her going into a secluded area. Medaberes might mean she was talking to him in private. She's whispering to him in a private, secluded area. So she went into a private place with him. She went into a private place. Ze'iris says that a girl that goes with a man into a private place, we have to assume that they had a beer together, they had physical relations together, and that was Asa. Well, it's definitely inappropriate, and we certainly have to know what her status is regarding Znus and regarding whether she's allowed to marry a Kohen. So that was Ze'iri. Rav Asi Omar. Rav Asi argues with Ze'iri and says no. He says, if all we saw was that she went into a secluded area, then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that she's believed to say that Lekosher Nivalti, that he was a kosher person, again with a migu, because she could have said, he didn't touch me. You saw that he touched me. You saw me going into a secluded area. Not worse than that. However, what does it mean, Ra'uwa Medaberes, where we do take into account that she probably did have a bia, and Rabbi Yeshua says she's not nemenes to say that he was a kosher, nivalo. Rav Asi Omar, nivalo, when it says Medaberes, it's just a polite and a decent way of saying that there were witnesses, or they saw her having relations with this person. So that there was no discussion whether she did or didn't have relations. It wasn't just a yichud, and then do we assume that the yichud, there was a bia? No, they saw the bia, and the question was, what's the nature of the man? So Rabbi Gamliel says that we believe her that he was kosher. Rabbi Shua says that not. Says the Gemara, and now we're going to have five discussions. Ze'iri, Rav Asi, how they conform with different brises and different questions. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question on Rav Asi. Bishleim le Ze'iri, according to Ze'iri, hainu diktoni medaberes. According to Ze'iri, that it was enough that we just saw the yichud, we can understand that the term that the Mishnah used is medaberes. Because typically a person would go into a private place to speak privately. Elo le Rav Asi. My medaberes, according to Rav Asi, that what actually had to be seen was the bia itself. Why are you talking about speaking? You saw her talking to somebody else. Why don't you say, Ra'uha, you saw that she had relations with somebody? Says the Gemara, Lishna Ma'alia. It's just a refined way of talking. We don't want to explicitly say that this woman was seen having relations with somebody. No. So it was said nicely, so the refined way of saying it, they saw him talking to somebody. K'dichsiv, and we find a similar concept, that the Torah goes out of its way when, even though it's talking about a man and a woman having physical relations together, but it doesn't say it in that many words. The Pasuk says in Mishli, Kein derech isha mena ofes, ochlo. This is typical for a woman who is a niuf, who's a zayna, that ochlo, she eats, umochas opiyo, and then she wipes her mouth, va'omra, and she says, lo pu'alti oven, I didn't do anything wrong. So over there we're talking about ochlo. What does ochlo? It's eating, not talking. But what does ochlo mean? Over there, achilo means that they had physical relations to each other. So you see that the pasuk goes out of its way to speak refinedly. And so to here, the Mishnah doesn't want to say it in that many words. The Mishnah just says medaberes. And the Yavet speaks out a little bit. You know, the pasuk speaks about achila. The Mishnah speaks about medaberes. But that's the intentions of the Gemara here. So that was the first thing. Another discussion, says the Gemara. Bishleim le Ze'iri. According to Ze'iri, who says that medaberes means yichud, hainu diktoni tarti. I can understand the two stages in the Mishnah. First, ra'uah medaberes, and then ra'uah mu'uberes. The first one is medaberes, which is yichud. The second one is mu'uberes. When you see a woman who's pregnant, you see in pretty much that they, well, not just a yichud, you can see that they had physical relations together, because otherwise you wouldn't be pregnant. So I can understand tarati, medaberes. We understand that there was a medaberes. And we understand mu'uberes, and I need both. I need the medaberes where there was only a yichud, and there's a chiddush there that even though all you saw was a yichud, according to Rabbi Yeshua, she's not ne'menes. And you've got mu'uberes, that even though she's pregnant and it's 100% clear that you saw the bia, or you didn't see the bia, but you saw that there was a bia because you can see she's pregnant, and nonetheless, Reb Gamliel says that she's kshera. We believe her that he was kosher. Elo l'Rav Asi, according to Rav Asi, who says that the medaberes also means the nivalo. Tarati l'omali. Why do I need the two stages in the Mishnah? They're both exactly the same. Mu'uberes means 100% that there was a bia, and medaberes, according to Rav Asi, means nivalo. So they're both, it's the same. Answers the Gemara, Chodo lehachshir bo, v'chodo lehachshir bebito. You'll notice that the two parts of the Mishnah, the first one is primarily just talking about the mother, about the woman. It's not mother, it's about the girl herself. Is she kosher lekohuna, is she not? And according to Rabbi Gamliel, she's kosher lekohuna. The second part of the Mishnah is mu'uberes. She's pregnant. There's a child going to be born. What's the status of the child? Do we say the mother is also nemenes, according to Rabbi Gamliel, regarding the child, only regarding herself? She herself has a cheskas kashrus. She has a status quo of being kosher lekohuna. This yet unborn child has no status quo. So maybe when this child is born, we have to assume that maybe he's going to be pasul lekohuna. Maybe she had relations with a nosin or a mamzer. So says the Mishnah, that says the Gemara, that according to Rav Asi, the reason I need two parts of the Mishnah is to impress on us that not only is she believed for herself, chodo lehachshir bo, but also the chodo lehachshir bebito. The second part of the Mishnah is to impress on us that Rabban Gamliel says she's kosher even regarding the child. Says the Gemara that this is dependent on a machlekes we're going to learn on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, whether it could be that according to Rabban Gamliel, she is only believed for herself and she's not believed about the child. So Hanicha Lemando Omar Ledivrei Machshir Bo Machshir Bebito, according to the opinion that says that Rabban Gamliel, who says she's kosher, holds that the child is also kosher, I can understand that that's the element of Chiddush in the second part of the Mishnah. Elo Lemando Omar Ledivrei Machshir Bo. But according to the opinion that says that even though she's believed regarding her own status, she's not believed regarding the child's status, in which case the second part of the Mishnah, where Rabban Gamliel says she's nemenes, is again only talking about the mother, not the child, in which case the question is, according to Rav Asi, why do I need to have both parts of the Mishnah? They're both talking about nivalo. Ma'ika lemeima, what are you going to say? Answers the Gemara, Rav Asi Sova, Rav Asi, who says that medaberes means nivalo, it must be that there is the element of chiddush in the sefer, is that machshir bo, machshir bebito, commando omar, ledivrei machshir bo, machshir bebito. Because if he's going to hold machshir bo is not machshir bebito, is poisel bebito, and you hold ra'uah medaberes means nivalo, then the two parts of the Mishnah are identical and you don't need them both. And therefore it must be Rav Asi holds machshir bo, machshir bebito. Continues the Gemara, now we're asking a question on Ze'iri. Ze'iri said that medaberes means yichud, which means that they saw her, they didn't see her nivalo, they just saw yichud. And the question, and according to Rabban Gamliel, she's believed to say that she was nivalo to a kosher, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, she's not ne'eman to say nivalo to a kosher. Says the Gemara, Omale Rav Papa Abaya. The Ze'iri de Omar, Maimed Aberes Nister, according to Ze'iri, who says that just seeing the Yichud itself is already enough to assume that there was a Bia. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Loi Mehemna, and Rabbi Yeshua said she's not Ne'emenes to say that she was Nival Ola Kosher, even though all you saw was a Yichud. She's not Ne'emenes to say he was Kosher, and we have to assume that she may have had the Bia with some deposel. Ha Omar Rav, did Rav not say Malkin ala Yichud ve'in Oishin ala Yichud? Rav said that if you see a boy and a girl who are transgressing the restrictions of Yichud, they go into a secluded area, then they get Malkus midrabonon, Malkus Mardus it's called, for having transgressed Yichud ve'in Oishin ala Yichud. But however, if a woman who's married transgresses Yichud with another man, then we don't say that she's now osser to her husband. We don't assume that she did znus and that she's osser. Leima deloik Rabbi Yeshua. Are you going to say that Rav, who says that ein oisrin ala yichud, is arguing with Rabbi Yeshua? Because Rabbi Yeshua says that if she did yichud, we assume that she did a bia. And to the point that she's not believed to say that she was even nival ala kosher. So, and we don't want Rav to be arguing with Rabbi Yeshua. Answers the Gemara, no. Afilu teima Rabbi Yeshua. It could even be that Rav would follow what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Yeshua said that and maila also biyuchsin. Regular wife who does yichud. Indeed, Rav says ein oisrin ala yichud. The yichud itself is not enough to say that there was a znus here and that a woman, a married woman who does nus, is also to her husband. However, over here, where our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, is discussing whether she's kosher for a kohen, regarding the kohuna and the particular yichus we need to have that the kohenim should stay kosher, just over there, Rabbi Yeshua says that yichud is enough reason to believe that she did a nivalot. And then we have to be afraid that she was nivalot to somebody who makes her posel to marry afterwards a kohen. But that's only maila also biyuchsin, that's only because we're discussing kohuna. But regular yichud, we wouldn't say that. Continues the Gemara, now we're asking a question again against Rav Asi. The Rav Asi says that medaberes means nivalot. Meisvei, we've got a question from a braisa. Ra'uo shenichnasoim echod, if they saw this woman who went into with a strange person, where did she go into? Let's say, sir, to a private place, oil churva, or into a ruin. And in the ruins, typically the people that were hanging out there are the people who are going to be engaged in immoral activities. And going into a churva pretty much can be assumed that it's a mokim znus, and she had physical relations with the people who were there. Va'omru lo. And they asked this woman, tell us the nature of the person that you had relations with, that you went into private with. And she answered, he's kosher and he's the son of my father's brother, which means it's a first cousin of hers. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Imrim Ne'emenes. As we've seen all along, Rabbi Gamliel says that we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua, Imrim Lo'im Mipia'on Uchoyin, again, Rabbi Yeshua says that we cannot take her word as the final word. It could be that she had relations with a nosin or a mamzer, and therefore she's posel lekuhuna. Says the Gemara. And that's the end of the brisa. Bishleim leziiri, according to Ziiri, who says that medaberes means that they only saw the yichud. Hainu diktoni tarti. They saw two things. They saw L'seiser. That means that's why the Braisa didn't see two things. The Braisa says two things. Ra'uo shenichnasoim echod l'seiser. Either they just saw the yichud, oy l'churva, or they went into churva, and then it's as if you saw the bia. It's two separate things. That in both cases, there's a machleikas. In both cases, there's a machleikas for Ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Either if it's just l'seiser, which is going into yichud, or l'churva, which is seeing a bia. Elo l'Rav Asi, but according to Rav Asi, who says that the machleikus, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, is only by if they see a bia, but if they see if they only see a yichud, then Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't say eino nemenes. Then over here, what's le seiser? If the Braisa speaks about seiser and Rabbi Yeshua says that she's not nemenes, then it must be le seiser means that they saw a bia. Like we saw in the Mishnah, like our Mishnah said, that medaberes according to Rav Asi means nivalo, because nistara there wouldn't be a machleikus. The same would be in this brisa, that leseiser means nivalo. If so, tarati lomali, what's the difference between leseiser, which is nivalo according to Rav Asi, and churva, where it's assumed there was a bia there? What's the difference? Says the Gemara, you're right. Now, in both places we assume there was a bia, but nonetheless there's a difference. First, the Gemara says, Chodok Toni, really that the Braisa means one case, not two cases. Leseiser de Churva. We'll soon see the Gemara is not going to like that. But the Braisa says, Leseiser oi le Churva, they went into a secluded place or into a ruin? No, it means one, they went into private in a ruin. The Gemara tries to answer that, says the Gemara straight away, you can't do that. The Braisa explicitly says there's two cases, either they saw her going into a private place, l'seiser, or into a churva. And if l'seiser also means bia, then according to Rav Asi, what's the difference between the two cases? Says the Gemara, you're right, and there's two types of churva. Choda l'churva de mosa. One is talking about a ruins which is in the town, and most people in the town are kosher. They're people who are not nosin, not mamzer, not goyim. These are people who are, most of them are kosher. That's l'seiser. V'choda l'churba d'abra. And the second case is talking about a ruined building in the Dabra, in the fields. And in the fields, there, most of the people there are actually would make apostle to Kohuna. Utzricha, I need them both. Diyesh minon churva demosa. If the Braisa would only speak about a type of churva in the town, maybe behok, machshe Rabbi Gamliel, maybe only there Rabbi Gamliel believes her that the person she had relations with was kosher, mishum deroiv ksherim etzla, because most of the people in the town wouldn't make apostle. Avol churva de Dabra, but maybe in the churva, in the fields, derive psulin etzla. Most of the people who are hanging out in the churva in the fields are people who are not in this city. In the Dabra typically would be most of the world. In the city, we assume that the beer was with somebody in the city. Outside in the fields, it could be with anyone in the world. In the world, between the psulim, the goyim, most people in the world are goyim. So why should we assume that the men she was meeting up with in the churva is not a goy? In the city, we don't need to assume that it was a goy, because most of the people in this city are Yisraelim, are Yidden. But outside in the field, maybe it was a goy. Most people in the world are goyim. Rav psulin etzla. Eima moidele Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe there Rabbi Gamliel will agree to Rabbi Yeshua that we do not believe her that he was kosher. And that's why it needs to speak about the churva of the in the fields. V'yesh minon bahi, and if the Braisa would only speak about the churva in the fields, maybe bahi ka'omer b'shua, maybe only there b'shua says that she's not nemenes, aval baha, but maybe in a case where the going into the ruins in the city, maybe Eima Moida Rabbi Gamliel, maybe he'll agree to Rabbi Gamliel, since most of the people are kosher, we can believe her, even a kunja b'shua. Tzricha, that's why the Braisa needs to speak about Seser, which is a ruins in a city, and the churva, which is the ruins in the field. And in both cases, Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her that he was kosher, and Rabbi Yeshua says we don't. And now, the last question, the Gemara is again against Rav Asi. Rav Asi, who says that medaberes in the Mishnah means nivalo. May say we're going to ask from a Tosefta, from a Braisa. And the Braisa there is speaking about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who say that she is nemenes by medaberes, by meuberes, like we saw in the Mishnah. And in the Braisa and the Tosefta, there's an addition. Zu edus sha'isha ksheirolo. According to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, they say that this woman is nemenes. In this case, in these cases, she is believed that the relations she had with the man was actually to somebody who was kosher and didn't make apostle lekohuna. That is how Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer finished their statement. Rabbi Yeshua Oimir, Rabbi Yeshua, as we saw in the Mishnah, says, Eino Nemenes, she's not believed that he was kosher. And if she had a beer to somebody not kosher, she's pasul l'kohuna. Omalem Rabbi Yeshua. Now, in this Tosefta, Rabbi Yeshua is actually adding on a proof that she's not Nemenes. And Rabbi Yeshua is going to challenge Rabbi Gamliel, that you, Rabbi Gamliel, said twice in the Mishnah, also by Ra'ua Medaberes, also Ra'ua Me'uberes, in both cases, you said she's Ne'menes. Rabbi Yeshua says, I think that Einu Ne'menes, and I'll bring you proof. I'atem Moidim, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, do you not agree? B'shvuya, what happens if a girl is taken captive? Shenishbis, that she was taken into captivity. V'yesh lo Eidim Shenishbis, and we know there's two witnesses to say that she was taken into captivity, v'hiyoy meres, and in captivity we assume that the people who took her captive, that they had relations with her, and she says, tahirani. She says, no, I'm tahir. She'eino nemenes. Rabbi Yeshua asked Rabbi Gamliel, if this woman is taken into captivity, and anyone in captivity, we assume that she had relations and she's not tahir. This girl says, I was there in captivity and I am tahir. Do you not agree that she's not going to be believed? Because she has no control over that? Omruloi, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua, Avol. Avol in Aramaic can mean emes, it's true. I agree with you. In the case of Shvuya, I, Rabbi Gamliel, agree to you, Rabbi Yeshua, that this woman is not ne'emenes, that she's toyer. So Rabbi Yeshua says, if so, I don't understand. Uma hefresh yesh bin zu lezu. Why in the case of Ra'ua Medaberes and Ra'ua Meuberes, you say she's ne'emenes, but in the case of Shvuya, you agree that she's not ne'emenes. says the Gemara, Lezu yesh edim. In the case of Mu'be, in the case of Shvuya, we've got edim. That means we've got edim, Rashi says, even to the bia. Because as soon as we know on 100% that she's actually been taken to captivity, and since the people who are holding her captive are goyim, and the goyim are prutzim barayas, they're immoral, and this is what they engage in, then it's as if all of us are witness to the fact that she had a bia with a goy, and she's posel, she's tomei, she's posel. Lezu yesh edim, lezu ein lo edim. So Gamliel says, however, in the case of Ru'uah Medaberes and Ru'uah Mu'uberes, nobody saw, nobody had any aid in there was any proof that she did a bia. There's no witnesses that she did a bia. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Yeshua said to Ibn Gamliel, Af lezu yesh edim. In the case of Ru'uah Mu'uberes, it's no different, it's even more than the case of Shvuya. By Shvuya, we assume there was a bia. Ru'uah Mu'uberes, you can see she's pregnant. There must have been a bia. Hare kreso ben shineo, you can see her stomach is raised, is between her teeth, so to speak. You can see she's got a child in there. She must have had relations with somebody. That's like Edim. So why in Shvuya do you agree she's not Nemenes? And why in the case of Mu'uberes do you say that she is Nemenes? Now I'm going to allow myself to add a few words into the Braisa, because otherwise the Braisa is totally cryptic, and I'll tell you the truth, the Gemara is about to ask the question, the Gemara is going to say it, but just so we should be able to read the Braisa without getting confused, I'm going to put the words in now. So what happened here? Rabbi Shua asked a question against Rabbi Gamliel, Shvuya, she's not Nemenes, why Mu'uberes and Medaberes is she Nemenes according to Rabbi Gamliel? And then Rabbi Gamliel said, because there's no Edim. Said Rabbi Yeshua, by Ru'uah Mu'uberes, there is Edim. Rabbi Gamliel responded, you know, you're right. I haven't got an answer for you now for Ru'uah Mu'uberes. I don't know why Ru'uah Mu'uberes, no, I don't know, but he said, we're not going to discuss that. I accept your question that Ru'uah Mu'uberes should be similar to Shvuya and she should not be Nemenes. Okay, but what refutation do you have against me from Ru'uah Medaberes? In the case of Ru'uah Medaberes, there we don't see a pregnancy, and there were no edim. There were no edim at all. That was the question. And to that, Rabbi Yeshua is going to answer to Rabbi Gamliel that even Ru'uah Medaberes is also like Shvuya. That means we can take it for granted there was a bia there. And why? Because Eina Petropos Laroyas, we'll see that in a minute. Because once this girl goes into a secluded place with another man, even if most of the people are Ksherim, we assume that there was a bia. That's what Rabbi Yeshua holds. And therefore he says it's like Shvuya. And going into Yichud, even when it's not Shvuya, even though Shvuya, most of the people there are Goyim and Psulim, in the case of Ru'uah Medaberes, most of the people are Ksherim, nonetheless, ein apotropos laroyes, there's nobody who can guarantee that there was no bia, we assume there was a bia, and therefore, she's not, according to Rabbi Yeshua, she's not Nemenes. Rabbi Gamliel, however, says there's a difference. In the case of Shvuya, since all the people there who are holding a captivity, it's even more than the place of the ruins. In the ruins, most of the people are goyim. Over here, all the people of Shvuya are all goyim, and they're all psulim, and therefore, it's vadai, there was a bia. But in the case of Ru'uah Medaberes, in that case, it's not 100% that there was a bia there. And that is what the Gemara says. That's how the Braisa is about to continue. And that's what the Braisa says. Omru loy roiv oivdei kechovim prutzim baroyishim. That Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer answered Rabbi Yeshua that in the case of Ru'uah Medaberes, over there, maybe there was no bia. But in the case of Shvuya, over there, most of them are goyim, and most of them are goyim, and therefore there was vadai a bia. Omar lahen, and Rabbi Yeshua responds and says, no, even though most of them are ksherim, and in the case of Ru'uah Medaberes, you didn't see a bia, ein apotropos laroyos, we have to assume, if there was a yichud, we have to assume that there was also a bia. That's, for now, the end of the Braisa. The Braisa is going to say an extra statement, but before we read it, what did we see here? It's clear from the dialogue we just had now that Ru'uah Mu'uberes was one discussion. Was there bia? Was there no bia? There's Edim, there was a bia. You can see she's pregnant. In the case of Ru'uah Medaberes, no, there's no Edim, there was a bia. And then there's a discussion. Do we assume there was a bia? Do we not assume there was a bia? Are most kosher, most not kosher? Does the fact that most are kosher, does that help? That there was a beer, there wasn't a beer? I don't understand, the Gemara is asking. According to Rav Asi, medaberes, medaberes means beer. Medaberes means nivalo. So if they saw that she was nivalo, then there's eidim that nivalo. How, why are you splitting this into two? And it's clear that we're splitting it into two. This is the question against Rav Asi, and Rav Asi is not even going to have an answer to this. But before we see that in the Gemara, the Braisa says one last statement. And the Gemara is going to come back to the statement soon. When is it true that according to Rav Gamliel, she's ne'menes, be'edus isha begufa? That is only the woman for herself. Aval edus isha bebita divrei hakril havlat shtuki. But regarding the child is has the status of shtuki. Shtuki means we silence him. That means there's something we don't know about this child. We don't know who the father is. And even though we believe the mother that the person she had relations with was kosher, and she's kosher lekuhuna, the child has the status of shtuki. We have to soon see. Does that mean that the child is not ne'mene? That the child, regarding the child, she's not ne'menes and he's posel? Do we say no? He's not posel l'kuhuna, but there are some other halachic ramifications of being called a shtuki. We're going to see that in the Gemara towards the end of the Amud. But this is the end of the Braisa. And now the Gemara is saying, "Mai ka'omar lohu or mai ka'mahador lohu." In the Mishnah, where the Mishnah started saying, the Braisa says Rabbi Yeshua asked a question against Rabbi Gamliel, why do you say Nemenes by Ra'u Amadaberes and Ra'u Amu'uberes? Why is it different to Shvuya? And then Rabbi Gamliel answered that by Shvuya there were Eidim, and by Mudaberes and Mu'uberes there were no Eidim. And then Rabbi Yeshua said, by Mu'uberes there is Eidim. And then suddenly the Braisa says two things. That Rabbi Gamliel said, Roiv Ovdei Kechovim Prutzim Barois. Most Goyim, they are porots, they're very immoral, and we assume there was a beer. How does that come into it? Where does that come in? The Braisa just said that by Mu'uberes, it's like Eidim. Okay, what's the response? So half of the dialogue is missing. That's what the Gemara is asking. Mai ka'omaluhu, or mai ka'mahadrile? What was the question? What was the answer? What's going on? Says the Braisa, says the Gemara, hochi ka'omarle. You have to read into the Braisa as follows, which is the way we read the Braisa. That Rabbi Gamliel is saying to Rabbi Yeshua, Hishavtonu al mu'uberes. Indeed, regarding mu'uberes, I accept your claim that it's considered edim and it should be like shvuya. Like shvuya, she's not ne'menes. Mu'uberes, I understand, you Rabbi Yeshua understand that it should be not ne'menes. Okay. Mata shiveinu al medaberes. What are you going to say regarding Ra'u al medaberes? Where there was no edim of nivalo, they only saw yichud. And this was the proof to Rav Asi that medaberes means yichud and doesn't mean nivalo. Because if Ra'u al medaberes means nivalo, it's exactly the same as mu'uberes. So Omar lohem. So then Rabbi Yeshua answered back to Rabbi Gamliel that medaberes hainu shvuya. In my opinion, if you see a yichud, that's called, we know there was relations, and it's like there's edim, and she's posel. Omru loy, and this is what Rabbi Gamliel answered, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, they answered, and this is the next line in the Braisa we saw, Shani shvuya doroi voivdei kachovim prutzim baroyesheim. By shvuya, it's goyim. Goyim are porots ba'arayis, and therefore it's 100% that there was a beer. But in the case of a regular medaberes, which is a yichud, according to Rav Asi, it's nivalo, according to Zeiri. But either way, with the Bryce is clearly understanding medaberes means yichud, doesn't mean a nivalo, because it's different to mu'uberes. It's not called edim. So Omar lohem. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Ha nami, even in the case of yichud, which is mudaberes, given the itzdatir, since there was a yichud, ein apotropos laroyes, there's no guarantee that they didn't do a bia. We cannot take responsibility, and we assume there was a bia." So that's the end of the Braisa explained by the Gemara as we read it. Ketonimias, but what do we see in this Braisa? Tarati, that it splits up mudaberes, that everyone agrees there's edim, and to the nivalo, because you see she's pregnant, and medaberes, where there's no edim of nivalo, and the whole question is, do we assume there was a nivalo? But you see clearly that medaberes is not nivalo, a question against Rav Asi. Ketonim yastarati, medaberes u'muberes, they're not both the same. Answers, that says the Gemara, tiuvta de Rav Asi, tiuvta, indeed it's a refutation against Rav Asi. asks the Gemara, V'tepik li, coming back to the Braisa, that Rabbi Yeshua said that even Medaberes is not Ne'emenes because it's like Shvuya. Why is it like Shvuya? V'tepik li, the Hasam Rav Psulim Etzlo, in the case of Shvuya, they're all goyim there, and most of the people there are going to make a parcel. V'hacha, but in the case of Medaberes, Rav Ksheirim Etzlo, most of the people that she would have a beer with are kosher. So why is Rabbi Yeshua saying that it has the same status as Shvuya? Answers the Gemara, Maseya Leili Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's proof to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Domer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yeshua ben Levi said, L'divrei Amachshir, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the woman is believed that the beer was to a kosher, Machshir afilu b'roiv psulim, even if there's roiv psulim, for example, in the case of the churva, where it's roiv psulim, nonetheless, she is nemenes that it was to her kosher. In the case of kol psulim, that would be different. That's shvuya. That there she wouldn't be believed. But in the case of roiv, like in the churva, that Rabbi Gamliel says that she's believed. But ledivrei apoysel, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that she's not nemenes, is poysel afilu b'roiv ksherim, even in a case where it's most of the people are kosher, not like a churva where most of them are posel, but some are kosher. Even if most of them are kosher, like at the churva in the middle of the city, for example, and in a case where most of the people around are ksherim, even there Rabbi Yeshua says she's not nemenes and she's posel l'kohuna, afilu b'roiv ksherim. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, ledivrei amachshir ba, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, that says that she's ne'emenes and that she had the beer with somebody who's kosher and therefore she's allowed to marry a kohen. Machshir bebita, her daughter is also kosher. Her daughter would be allowed to marry a kohen, because if the mother became posel, then her daughter would also become posel. Ledivrei apoysel, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the mother is not believed that she had the beer with a kosher and the mother is posel to marry a kohen. So too, the daughter is going to be posel to marry a kohen, poysel bebita. The divya poysel ba, poysel bebita. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer argues, Rabbi Eliezer oimir, le divya machshir ba, poysel bebita. Even according to Rabbi Gamliel only says that the mother is ne'emenes. But regarding the child, she's not ne'emenes, because, why? Omar Rabba, we discussed this already on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara is going to say it. My Talmud Rabbi Elazar, why should there be a difference between the mother and the child? Either you believe the mother that the beer was to a kosher, and then they're both kosher. If that we don't believe the mother, then they'll both be posel. But why would we say that the mother, she stays kosher, but her child is posel? Why would that make sense? Says the Gemara, Bishle Mi'ihi, regarding the mother, Islo Chazoka de Kashrus. She has a status quo. She had the status of being a woman that was kosher to marry a kohen. So we believe her that hasn't changed. Bita, however, her yet unborn child, when the child's going to be born, it has no status. If it has no status, then there's no status quo, and therefore, Leslo Chazoka de Kashrus doesn't have a Cheskas Kashrus, and therefore, regarding the child will not be allowed to marry a kohen. Rabbi Elazar is now going to ask a question against Rabbi Yechanan. We saw in the last statement of that long braisa we just learnt, that Bamei Devarim Amurim, Be'edus Isha Begufa, that when does Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that the woman is ne'emenes and she's kosher l'kohuna? It's only Begufa, it's only for herself. Aval Edus Isha Bebito, but regarding the daughter, Divri Hakel, everybody, even Rabbi Gamliel, agrees, Havlad Shtuki. The child has the status of a shtuki, and shtuki, very often, shtuki means that we don't know what's with him, and says the Gemara, my love, can we not assume that shtuki means shtuki apostle, since you don't know who the nature of the father is, regarding the child, that she's apostle. So you see clearly in the Braisa that machshir ba, poysel bebita, and this is not like Rabbi Yechanan, who said that manda machshir ba, machshir bebita, says the Gemara, loy. No, the shtuki doesn't mean posel. Shtuki means v'kosher. The mother can marry a kohen, the child can also marry a kohen. Says the Gemara, do you ever find such a thing that the term shtuki, which means that with something is being silenced here, there's a discussion in the Rishonim exactly what's being silenced and who's silencing who, but the concept of shtuki is a questionable yichas. And do we ever find such a thing of shtuki which is kosher? Umeika shtuki kosher, says the Gemara in, yes, I'll show you where. Because Shmuel, in the case of Shmuel, we find that there's a concept of a shtuki who's kosher. And we have to understand regarding what halachas is it called a shtuki. Da'omer Shmuel. Shmuel said, Asara koyanim oimdim. There were 10 kosher koyanim that were standing together in a group. Upirish echod mehem. One of them left the group. Uboal and had relations with a woman. And then this woman became pregnant and she had a child. Now, then we know 100% that this Kohen is not somebody who is posel, not somebody who would make her posel to marry a Kohen. So the child would be kosher. Nonetheless, havlad shtuki. And here there's no, it's not going to say it was a nosin, a mamzer. No, we know exactly that this was to a kosher Kohen, which means that the child is definitely kosher. And nonetheless, the halacha, says the Shmuel, that havlad shtuki, the vlad is shtuki, my shtuki. Now the Gemara is asking, what ramifications would that have? It's certainly kosher, and the child can certainly marry a Kohen, but what ramifications does shtuki have? Ilema, are you going to say, shemashaskin oise minech se'oviv, we silence him from claiming the inheritance from his father? That means, were he to take the inheritance of his father, we would say, no, you can't take it. That wouldn't make any sense. Pshita, goes without saying. Miodino navua manu, we don't even know who his father is. We don't know who his father is. He's going to take, when one of these 10 die, this son is going to take the property of that person and say, this is my inheritance. No, you don't know this is your father. We don't know which of the 10 kohanim had relations with this child's mother. So what's the shtuki? What are the ramifications of the fact that he's shtuki? Elo mashaskino yise midin kohuna. He can marry a Kohen, but there's certain halachas, for example, to do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash and to eat truma, that he can't do. Only there, but he's kosher to marry a Kohen. Dechsev, as it says in the pasuk, v'hoi soloi ulazare acharov, that regarding a Kohen, a kosher Kohen who can do the avoidah and eat truma, it says in the pasuk, v'hoi soloi ulazare acharov, it will be to him and to his offspring, bris kohunas oilam, a covenant of an eternal kohuna, priesthood, only somebody who is directly associated to the father, and we know exactly who the father is allowed to do the avodah. But this child, we don't know who his father is, even though we know he's a Kohen. We know he's kosher. But we don't know who his father is. In this case, where the child and the father, there's no direct connection because we don't know who it is, then din kohuna, certain halachas, this child is restricted from. But as far as kosher is concerned, he's kosher. And therefore, when it says in the Braisa that you're only believed for the mother, but not for the daughter, not for the child, it doesn't mean the child is posel. Because man de machshir ba, machshir bebita, according to Rabbi Yechanan. What it means is that for the child, there's going to be an issue with eating chuma and doing the avoida. Continues the Gemara. Hahu orus va'arusosoi. There was this orus, what we would call an engaged to be bride and groom, chosn and kala, but really it's not just engaged, it was a kiddushin. As we've discussed many times in the Gemara, erusin was from the kiddushin. She's an eishes ish, and the only person that she's ever allowed to have any relations with is with her husband. Anyone else, she's eishes ish. The whole world are posel. It's not about nosin and mamzer and goyim. The whole world is also because she's married. Ahu arus varusasi. The also look to Rav Yosef. They came to Rav Yosef, and she was clearly pregnant, and it was before the chuppah, before the nisuin. The question is, who did she become pregnant from? He amra, she says, mine, from him. We had relations together, and my husband is the father of this child, even though we haven't yet had the nisuin. Vhu amar, and he says, I agree with you. In you're right, minoi, it's from me. Amar Rav Yosef. L'may nechishla, what should we be concerned about? What's the issue? Chada, dehokamoida. Number one, he agrees that he admits that this child that she's carrying is, or that she's pregnant, and this child is his. Va'oid, another question. Ha'omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. We already said, Shmuel said, and we saw this already before in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that she's ne'emenes. We believe her to say who the nature is of the person she had relations with. Omer le'abaya, ubaha kiloi moida, machshir Rabban Gamliel. Because what did we just see here? That Rav Yosef responded to this chosn and kala and said to him, what's the issue? And the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. And besides for that, he agrees. Sabai is asking, what would happen if the husband wouldn't agree? Because it seems here that number one, the husband agrees. And number two, if the husband wouldn't agree, Rabban Gamliel says that she's ne'emenes. Abaye says, Kiloi Moida, when the husband wouldn't agree, Machshir Rabban Gamliel, would you still use Rabban Gamliel? Just imagine we had such a case of an oros varusa that the husband doesn't agree. The husband says, this is not my child. Are you still going to believe her? Rav Yosef says, Va'oid, Ha'omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel Alocha Rabban Gamliel. And this is very difficult to understand. Va'omer Le Shmuel L'Rav Yehuda. Did Shmuel not say to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, the sharp one, we've seen before, that's how Shmuel would address Rav Yehuda. Halacha Rabban Gamliel, that in the case of where she's Mu'uberes, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. However, what did Shmuel say? Va'at, but you, lo savid, you should not act, lo savid uvda, you should not act in following this case. I mean, the case of a woman who became pregnant and you saw her ra'ua mu'uberes and she is ne'menes, only, it's true Rabban Gamliel says ne'menes, but only ad ikarev ksheir metzla, only if most of the people that she could have become pregnant from are ksheirim. If most of the people are ksheirim, then halacha is like Rabban Gamliel and she is ne'menes. However, Hocha, in this case, where she's actually an Eishes Ish, there's only one person that she can have relations with that would keep her kosher, and that's her husband, her Orus. Anybody else, the whole world, is possible. Rav Psulimetzla. In the case of Rav Psulimetzla, then she's not Ne'menes. So in the case that he wouldn't be Moida, if he wouldn't agree that this is his child, would we believe her? Ne'menes? How can Rav Yosef say, I've got two reasons to believe her. Number one, because he agrees. Number two, because halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. No, the Gemara Abaye is asking that halacha is not like Rabban Gamliel here because Rav Psulim. Says the Gemara, Ulta Meich. Okay, I hear your question on the way Rav Yosef answered this issue. But Tikshulehi Gufa, why don't you ask a question squarely against Shmuel? Because Shmuel said, halacha, Rabban Gamliel. The halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. Va'atlei savid uvda, but you shouldn't act this way unless there's roiv ksheirim. Well, make up your mind. Is the halacha like Rabban Gamliel? Is the halacha not like Rabban Gamliel? Elamayis loch lemeimer. What do you have to say? Ha lekatchila. Lekatchila ha b'di'eved. That means b'di'eved, post facto, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. In any case, she's ne'menes. Lekatchila, you shouldn't trust her in the case where it's roiv psulim. If so, if you agree that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, b'di'eved, and only lekatchila you don't follow him unless it's roiv ksheirim, ha'onami b'di'eved domi, over here, that this orus varusa, they already had kiddushin, this child has already been conceived, this is b'di'eved. If it's b'di'eved, Shmuel said, halacha Rabban Gamliel, the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, even though it's roiv psulim. And that's how the Gemara answers this question. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.